Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome to our good news segment. Now, all of us are getting ready to get our engines fired up, get out there, do the traveling we've always wanted to do. But what is it that you should know? Let's fast forward to where we are today. Sophie Shulman joining me here today, Deputy Administrator, National Highway Traffic Safety Administrator. And today what we're going to be talking about is spring forward for safety. And this is the thing that we don't stop and think about. How safe is your vehicle? Do you know what's going on with it? What should you be checking before you get in there and make these gigantic plans to head out into the sunset? It's so great to have you here, Sophie. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's talk about vehicle safety. I don't think we can say enough about making sure that we are prepared, that we're planning, that we understand that there are some things we can do. In the world we're living in today, our vehicles have gotten a lot more complicated, right? And yet most of us are still reading the repair book to even start the engine. So help us understand the importance of safety here from where you sit.
Absolutely. Well, vehicle safety is a huge part of road safety. I'm here to talk about open recalls on your vehicle, and this can be anything from your seatbelt, your airbag, your child's car seat. So these are incredibly important safety tools that will make sure that you, your passengers, and other people on the roads are safe.
And you know, this is an interesting conversation because the bottom line is we think that unless we see flashing red lights, that everything is okay. And what I mean by that, Sophie, is we think that somebody's going to pick up the phone and call us and say, hey, your car's got to come in. But that's not the way it works. We really have to become more responsible, don't we?
Absolutely. You need to check and make sure if you've got any open recalls on your vehicle. And it's really easy to do that. You can go to our website. It's NHTSA.gov/recalls, NHTSA.gov/recalls. You can put in your license plate number or your vehicle identification number, and it'll let you know if you have any open recalls on your vehicle.
All right. So tell us about Vehicle Safety Recalls Week. You know, I know you're doing these conversations, you're having these shows, but you really are very focused on the points you're trying to make here, aren't you?
Absolutely. These can be potentially deadly safety defects. They can be incredibly dangerous. And so that's why it's so important to all of us to check and make sure if we've got open recalls on our vehicle. You mentioned Vehicle Safety Recalls Week. We do it right around daylight savings time because it's a time when people are thinking about home maintenance, spring cleaning, and we really want folks to remember to also check and see if there are open recalls on their vehicle.
So what have you all seen is the best way to stay on top of this? Because I think we're all kind of alike. We don't think there's anything wrong with our cars. And I think we're kind of a little old school and that we think, oh, somebody's going to pick up the phone and call us and say, hey, your car is being recalled, but that's not the world we're looking. How much responsibility do you think we need to take on this? And what tools are out there to help?
Yeah, well, we've got lots of tools, luckily. So first of all, I mentioned our website, NHTSA.gov/recalls. It's really easy to look it up there. We also have an app. It's Safer Car App. You can download that, register your car on there, and it'll let you know if there are new recalls. It'll send you a push notification on your phone if there's an open recall on your vehicle. You can also put your car seat or other equipment into that as well. You should also, if there is a new recall, get a letter in the mail from your manufacturer that will have information about how to get that free repair. They'll have instructions, how to schedule an appointment, when parts will be available, and you know, more things to follow up on there.
What do you think are some of the greatest misconceptions about this? I know for me, We often think, oh, recalls are only for new cars, right, that come out, but that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So you may have heard about the Takata airbag recall. It's one of the largest in history, and it involved about 67 million defective airbags. These are very dangerous. About 27 people died in the U.S. because of these defective airbags. And there are still 8 million of these that have not been remedied in the U.S. And there's about 100,000 in the state of Washington and 50,000 in the Seattle area that have not been repaired. So this is actually a really important thing that's been out there for quite a while, and folks haven't gotten all of those addressed yet. So again, it's free to get it repaired, and it is potentially deadly. So it's really important to think about that.
Now, tell us about the Safer Car app. Tell us a little bit about that. I like that, you know, we're talking about something that people can get, they can download. It's very easy to really be able to, you know, say, look, I can keep track of this on an ongoing basis. Just because I checked today doesn't mean that tomorrow there won't be something new, right? Does this app take care of all the updates for us?
Yeah, it definitely makes it easier because you don't have to think about it at a regular schedule. It'll push, you know, a notification out to you that there's a new recall. Again, it's your vehicle, but also your equipment, like your car seat. I'm a relatively new parent, and so I know how important it is to have a safe car seat for your child. It's a really great tool. But again, if you don't want to download the app, you can always visit our website and look these things up as well.
What are you finding? Can we talk for a little bit about, you know, the trends? Are you finding that people are more aware of this now, or do we have to really do a better job to say, look, there are tools available and this is a serious thing? So a lot of times we don't take this seriously enough. I'm one of those people that didn't do that way back and had a fuel injected engine that I didn't know was recalled. And I'm telling you, that thing went through a toll booth. That thing was flaming like nobody's business. Wow. And that's just one example of where we were and how hard it was. Now, there's really no excuse for not being on top of that, right?
Yeah, well, we had about 1,000 recalls last year that affected nearly 40 million vehicles and pieces of equipment. So it is, you know, there are a number of recalls out there, and it is something that we all have to be aware of. We all have to share the message that folks should check and see if there's an open recall. And as you noted, these can be incredibly dangerous safety defects. And so it's so important to check on a regular basis to make sure there's not a new recall that's come out.
Yeah. And then also, we could also look this up by VIN number, correct? Is that also another way to do it? Can you just?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, so your vehicle identification. Yeah, so on our website, you can use either your license plate number or your vehicle identification number, which you can find inside your vehicle or usually on your insurance card as well.
I want to ask you this question. I'm not sure if you know the answer, but I know cars are getting more and more complicated, right? We know they are. We're you know, once upon a time, what? You put the key in the engine, you turn the engine on, and the car starts. Now you put the key. Now there's no key. You don't put the key in the engine anymore. You hit some button and off you go. You know, is this now the new world of making sure that there are more features we have on cars, which we all love, right? But there are more possibilities for things to go wrong. I mean, is that something we're looking at, or are we getting better at quality control?
One thing we are seeing is a lot more over-the-air software safety recalls, which are, you know, it can be a software update like it is on your phone, but it actually repairs something that is a safety defect in your vehicle. And this is extremely convenient for consumers, but it is really important to understand that it is a safety defect. You need to make sure that you have the right software version installed. You know, we like to say, if you update the software on your phone and your phone doesn't work, that's okay. But if your car doesn't work, that can actually be really dangerous for you or your passengers or someone else on the road. So please make sure you've got that right information. And if the update isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing, we want to hear about it and make sure that we're addressing that as well.
Are there any recalls out there that you can mention that people should be aware of? I mean, we've talked about, you know, the airbag. I mean, that's crazy. But what are you seeing from where you sit, or what are some of the recalls that you're seeing that you can spotlight for us?
Yeah, I would say in addition to the Takata recall, which is, you know, again, still quite large and a number of those that have been unremedied. In addition to that, I would mention car seats. You know, I'm a relatively new parent, and you know, that is such an important thing to make sure is safe. And so there were about 100,000 car seats that were recalled in 2023. Please check those and make sure there's no defect associated with your car seat as well, because that's such an important thing to keep your kids safe.
Now, the other thing that's important, and this is, can you talk to this point? I know a lot of times we've done shows on recalls before. And one of the things that have come up from our audience is, yeah, I heard your show. I went to the dealer and the dealer's like going to charge me. I mean, there's so many stories we're hearing now about how difficult it could be for some people to actually get this fixed. So they have to know their rights. You know, if you've got a recall, you got to take that back to the dealer. The dealer's got to fix it. There's no argument here.
Absolutely. All recall repairs are free at your local dealership, and the manufacturer is required to cover the cost of that repair. And absolutely, it's important for folks to understand that.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention, and maybe you can talk to this, I know we're always looking for shortcuts, right? But this is one area that I don't recommend you bypass your dealer and try to get somebody local to fix it. I mean, often we do that, right? But this is not one of those cases. You really need to go back to the dealership, because those are the people that are authorized. They know what to take out, what to replace it with, and how to do it, and not affect the warranty on the car, right?
Yeah, I think, again, it's important for folks to not be worried about the cost, because this is all free and covered by the manufacturer. And so, yes, you should go to your local dealership. They should know what they're looking for, but make sure you read that documentation from the manufacturer as well, because that will have some important information.
So one of the things, Sophie, what didn't we talk about that you'd like people to know? And again, please give out that website.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think just reminding folks, as you did a great job of, that these can be incredibly dangerous safety defects. So please check for open recalls. You can do that at NHTSA.gov/recalls. That's NHTSA.gov/recalls.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to say to people, you may be thinking, oh, this is just a small thing. You know, we don't really understand the underpinnings for certain things that are being recalled. We don't understand how they affect other things. So it doesn't matter what degree the recall is. People should really just get it fixed, right?
Absolutely. And it's free to do so.
I like it. One more time. Website, last question, personal message. What do you want to leave us with today, Sophie?
When you change your clocks, check for vehicle safety recalls at NHTSA.gov/recalls. That's NHTSA.gov/recalls. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. And for those of you out there, before you get out on that road, you know, do more than kick the tires. Just make sure you're checking on your vehicle. Make sure everything is working the way it should. It's very easy to do. Thank you so much, Sophie. Thank you all. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. So many of us have been affected by the, let's just call it, research on brain health. So many of us have seen people come before us, and we scratch our heads and we say, in the world we live in today, why don't we have more answers? Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to answer that question, but I've got two amazing people here that are going to not just answer the question, but tell us what the heck we're going to be able to do about this. Because I don't know about you, but almost everybody I know knows somebody that could benefit from an accelerated research approach or platform on brain health. Joining me here today, CEO of the Brain Donor Project and founder of Black Men in Biotech. We're going to discuss that. We have Trish Hevel, CEO of the Brain Donor Project. And now I heard Trish, you call him Pete.
Oh, his name's Petrosky.
His name is Petrosky. Petrosky Loskin, founder of Black Men in Biotech. Both of you, thank you for joining me here today. We are really getting at the bottom of, look, in all the donor programs we have, you know, this is one of these areas that we have to have more education for people to understand that the only way we're going to really advance this and advance the research is by doing the research. What do you think, Trish? Right or no?
You said it. It's the most critical tissue known to neuroscience. There's no substitute for it at all. And if there's a shortage of donated human brain tissue for these really important studies, it's going to slow research. So we are out there, and thank you for preaching as well, telling people that we need brains. We need all kinds of brains. We need brains from all kinds of people, because if the science isn't, you know, the science will be incomplete if it doesn't represent all of us.
Yeah. And let's talk about representing all of us, because this is like, I'm like a broken record on this. You know, those of us that come from, multiracial diverse families, right? My folks are South American. We also scratch our heads about certain things like this. So this is one of these things where the playing field is not even level in any way. I want to just have each of you talk about that. But Petrosky, I want you to go first. I mean, are we still talking about an level or uneven playing field, especially in this arena?
Yes, of course. Absolutely we are. And let's be honest. I mean, my favorite quote of the du jour is, if we're not at the table, we're on the menu. And what does that mean? Means that if you want the science to reflect us, then we have to be included in, we need a seat at the table to determine whether or not that science, whether or not that is going to apply to us. And so for so many of Black and brown people, African-American, my family, my mom and my grandfather, who died of Alzheimer's, it's systemic, and it's multi-generational trauma that these communities, my communities, had to deal with. So you come to them with brain donation, they're looking at you like, what? But then when you say, well, wait a minute, you know, we need to level the playing field. These, you know, Alzheimer's alone impacts our community more than any other community. You know, I think Tish is, I'm right that Black people are twice as likely to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's than any other group. That's a problem. And 50% of all cases in the Black community go undiagnosed. So that's a double whammy. So it's a problem, and we want to address it through the braindonorproject.org site, which is the first.
You're so right. Tish Havel joining me here today. Now, look, I can't tell you how many years ago I've been doing this. This is my 20th anniversary. So I go way back, including really being a strong advocate for Lyme disease. And one of the most interesting things I found was one of our amazing doctors, who was able to hold on to his license, got these 11 brains from Harvard, right, to do research on. And had he not gotten them, we wouldn't have discovered that out of 11 brains, my math, you ready? 9 out of the 11 brains didn't really have Alzheimer's, they had Lyme disease. And so these are one of these things that we can't even get to even have a conversation about. Here's the crisis. The degree by which we're seeing human beings suffer in their lives with anything to go on with the brain is so rapidly fast. Tish, can we keep up? What are we going to have to do here?
Can we keep up? It's tragic. You're right. And the problem is that the answers are just not coming fast enough. So you're absolutely about that. The only way we're going to get there is by having supplies of brain tissue available for scientists that are representative of all of us. And since we support the brain banks of the NIH, you know, they're disease agnostic. They'll take all kinds of disorders and controls. It's important for people with healthy brains to also donate, because that healthy tissue is need for comparison's sake in every single study. But the every single study part is so critical, because as Petrosky said, if the science doesn't represent all of us, it is not complete at all. And so, you know, it's no secret that there have been all kinds of inequities in health, right? But we don't know if the differences in some brains are caused by environmental factors. You know, housing discrimination has led to certain communities having to live near industrial areas. What effect does that have on the brain? And how healthy, you know, how are we going to be able to come up with therapies that are effective and safe for people unless we take all that into consideration? So, yeah, we need to open things way up, and we need people to really respond to this call, because it's the only way we're going to have a healthier future. One of the things you mentioned, I have to piggyback on, Doctor. The families get a copy of the neuropath report. So the autopsy of the brain, you know, is the examination. And many neurodegenerative diseases, especially like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, that's the only definitive diagnosis they're going to get is, yes. is study that's done once they die. And since we're getting closer to understanding the genetic underpinnings of so many things, that's critical information.
Yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out. And, you know, Petrosky, I want to ask you, because let me tell you, like, people don't really recognize this. They think, what do you mean? I mean, why is brain research so, well, it is different because actually the person cannot be alive while you're studying them on this part of the body. That's what makes this so critical and pivotal. It's not like other things. It's not like if something happens to your arm and they can take a biopsy and they can do it. It's not like that. This is so different. But Petrosky, I want to ask you, this is an educational program for people in the Black and Brown community. There's got to be some kind of outreach to have some conversations to have people feel safe. I don't know. What do you think?
I completely agree with you there. And that's one of the reasons why I'm involved. And because we're, first of all, you demystify, destigmatize this whole conversation because we're all living with this. We all want answers, right? And what's that line from A Few Good Men? I want the truth, you know.
Yeah, you can't handle the truth.
Well, Black community is ready to, a Black community is ready to handle the truth because it's a scourge that's really destroying families. It's a long goodbye. And on top of that, I have no idea how in some part, like I grew up in South Georgia, a lot of my relatives and my family members have no idea. They think dementia is just they call it old timers disease. They don't even call it Alzheimer's. They call it old timers. And they think it's a natural part of aging. And that's not the case. So we have to, the awareness part is so important. It's sororities, it's fraternities, it's barbershops. Yeah. Okay. When I go to my barbershop later today, you bet your bottom dollar we're going to be talking about this issue. And so the awareness piece is where we start. And that's why I'm so committed to helping Tish get the word out, because we do need awareness.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Where can people go? Because, you know, we got to give it. We're living in a digital world now. You can't turn around. You know, somebody asked me a question. What do you think is the most present we are in any given part of our day? I said, oh, easy, when we hear the text notification on our phone. So, I mean, don't worry about be here now or the esoteric nature of being present. I mean, come on. All we need to do is watch ourselves. But how do we find out more about this? Where do people go? How can they spread the word? Where is the access, Tish, for that?
It's at braindonorproject.org. Thank you for the that's the website we developed to help raise awareness of the critical need and simplify the process to become a donor. It's not part of organ donation. You got to make separate arrangements.
Yes.
So that site will help you get started. There's a brief online form that someone can fill out for themselves or on behalf of someone else. And then we connect them with the brain bank. Makes the most sense and sort of hand things off from there. But that's where it all starts.
Can I ask a very ridiculous question? So you're going to be like, oh, this is such a stupid question. Okay. I'm an organ donor. It's not on the organ donor. I don't understand. I mean, you got to help me with this. I mean, honestly, until I did this show, I didn't know it wasn't on my list. You know what? I don't understand. Can you two explain that?
Yeah, not a stupid question at all. That's the number one question we get. It makes sense, right? The brain's an organ.
It does.
Wouldn't it be part of organ donation? It's never going to be because they're never going to transplant them. And so in the meantime, we have to do it this way, which is a little more complicated and cumbersome, but you do have to make separate arrangements. And if you haven't made them in advance, it's tricky. You know, as you know, this is America. We have paperwork. And until all that gets done, the process is slowed and we can't have it slowed. You know, the brain has to be back at the brain bank, stored properly, well within 24 hours of death. So you got to hustle. And if the paperwork's in place, that's doable. Mm-hmm. If it isn't, it's dicey.
Yeah. I mean, this is really a conundrum. And I just wanted to thank you both. I mean, it really is paradoxical to me. You know, here is an area we need more research than we could even imagine. First of all, we don't even know the full functioning of the brain. Right. So Last question from each of you. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave everybody with? And thank you for getting the word out.
Yeah, I'm happy to start. For me, my personal message, I just want to help my mom. I just am like to know what is going on. She's 78 years old and she's been struggling in the last, we've been struggling as a family. And I feel like if we had more answers, if we had more research and providers and specialists were armed with more information and more tools to help me, help her, wow, I'd be in a much better place. So I'm doing this for my mother and for all the moms and out there who are and family members out there who are trying to figure it out every day.
That's it. Yeah. Go to braindonorproject.org. Please consider this, start the process. And thank you so much for considering it.
Yeah. And I want to thank you both for taking a message out there, because this is one of these areas that when we see the struggle and the suffering of the individual and the family, it's actually, there aren't words for it. Thank you both for joining us here today. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. ¶¶